That way, well, in case you... with my first son, my Elohim, I had him... I gave birth to him naturally in a birthing center. And so it was like in a bedroom. And it was amazing. And I went food shopping when I was done. And I used my own energy. Like, it was no drugs, no nothing. So when I was pregnant with the twins and to have a C-section, I felt disconnected. I totally didn't feel like they were mine. I felt like my child. I felt like I had kids for somebody else. It was weird. And I felt like that for a little while. But then I realized that it was the whole, for me, it was the whole C-section. I didn't get to have them vaginally. I didn't get to pull them out and bring them to me. I didn't get to hold them when they were born. So I was a little disconnected for a little while. But then, you know, they're 9 now, so we're good, you know.
Did you anticipate having the C-section? Was that something you knew from like the moment you found
your twins? Yeah, I knew because the youngest one never turned around. And the day I was giving birth, we were talking to him, and Musa, turn around, please turn around, please. Right. It was too late because they were good sizes. One was 6'9" and the other one was 4'2". So they were good sizes, and he just didn't want to turn for me.
Did you have a good idea of what that process was?
The C-section? Yes, but what I didn't realize was that it was going to happen so fast. I think it happened within 10 minutes. One was out, and then the other one came out a minute later. And then I was back into the room. But the unfortunate thing about it is that I was drugged the entire time. You know what I mean? I was like out of it, you know, and I didn't get to hold my babies right away. And they didn't get to stay in the room with me sometimes. And I was going crazy. The father was there, so he always got to see them in the nursery and everything. But it was hard. That part of it was hard. But carrying them, they were very heavy. You know, I don't have twins on either side of the family, so I actually dropped 2 eggs at one time, and that's how I got the twins. But I was so mad at the dad for a while. I was like, how dare you? You're so selfish. How are you going to give me 2 boys? And he was like, doctor was like, no, you dropped 2 eggs. Yeah, I was like, oh, damn, it was me. Okay.
So, how was the recovery with the C-section?
It was amazing. They did some sort of procedure that was like a... It was like taped. I don't know what you call it. It wasn't a staple or anything. It was taped. And to this day, to be honest, I can't find it. The incision, I can't find it because it's so faded. But it was great. I had a great recovery with that. Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Did you nurse?
All my children were nursed. Yeah. Yeah. The twins were nursed till they were 8 months. And then my oldest was nursed till he was 15 months. And then I'm still nursing Freedom, so.
So did you have just like, you know, that God gift of producing milk and that all just functioned great for you?
Yeah, I didn't have any problems doing that. And I was really happy about it. Even when the twins actually let go of me. I wasn't the one that stopped them from feeding. So, and I was happy about that because it got to be a little bit challenging to feed them both at the same time. Because that's how I was doing it. But they let go of me at the same time. And I was like, great, not a problem. Yeah. Yeah, but I had no problems producing, yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it was so good. Lucky. Yeah, I know. But it's such a blessing to be able to do it, too, because I know how important it is, you know, to make sure that they breastfed, so.
Especially, you know, to grow that bond if you were feeling that disconnect.
Yeah, big time.
Did you find, how was it when you, how did you resolve that disconnect?
I mean, that's a good question. Actually, it came with time. It came with time. I mean, and granted, you're their first teacher, so they're with you all the time, you know? And I guess the breastfeeding helped. And then just them being around me all the time, it just got better, you know? So yeah, I'm mommy, you know? And I love my boys, but that was, I felt it and I recognized it and I embraced it. It was truth. It was my truth. Like, there's a disconnect here. And I think it's from that. And, you know, so when I had him, it was he's natural all the way. And, you know, and what I didn't know is if you have a C-section 2 years before your next birth, you're okay to have a natural birth. But they were worried that the C-section would, something would happen. So they made sure I had the baby in the hospital. I said, I'll have him in the hospital as long as I can move around because I don't want to have him laying on my back. Because I know that's not natural, you know. I need to be able to squat, or if I want to turn to my side, I want to be able to do that. And my midwife, I had a midwife at the time, and she said, you can do whatever you want. You'll be, you know, connected. They want to, you know, monitor you, but you can move around if you need to. So I did. I moved my legs around and turned to the side, and I made sure I had him natural. Yeah. That was so important.
You had mentioned that the C-section was really short. Were the natural births short too? Or?
Yeah, my son, oh gosh. My water broke at the outdoor swap mart. It was hilarious. My mother was with me. And, you know, my mother had four children. So I said, oh my God, my water broke. She goes, are you in pain? I said, no. She goes, well, I'm going to go buy my bananas and you go call your doctor. I was like, what? So I go, I'm like, my water broke. And then she's like, okay, well, when your pain is so many minutes apart, you know, call me back. And I'm like, why is everybody so calm? So I go home, I have a nice warm shower, and then my pain started. And then they were very gradual, very spread out. And then when I got to the restaurant, we even went to eat. My mother's like, I'm hungry, we're going to eat. I was like, what? I go, I have a little bit of salsa. Soon as I had that salsa, the pain was like this. By the time I got to my midwife, I was 9 centimeters. And for the twins, it was the C-section. And then for Freedom, it was probably about 4 hours because I was having the pain, but I wasn't dilating. So they broke my water and let me go my distance. And so I had him about 4 hours.
So the Freedom, your last child, mm-hmm. was the one where you had the salsa and that?
No, the that salsa was the first one. Yes. Yes.
So you were planning on going to a birthing center.
Yes, all of that was planned out. Yeah. And, you know, I spoke with a girl, believe it or not, she was in her early 20s. She had 4 kids already. And she said one word to me that made me feel like having my first child was going to be just amazing. She said it's bearable. That the pain was bearable. That was enough for me. For me. I said, oh, then I'll be all right. Then it'll be fine. And that's how it was. You know, it was painful, yeah. But I was like, no, it's temporary. Breathe through it. And you'll be fine. And all of them were like that. And it was like, okay, I could do this.
Yeah, I mean, they try to say, like, pain doesn't kill anyone.
Right.
But it's hard to remember that.
So. Yes, yes, yes. And I know everybody has a different tolerance for it. But believe it or not, I started doing yoga before my oldest son. And that's when I learned about breathing through it. And I was breathing through the pain. And it helped me a lot. I didn't go to the Lamaze classes or anything. I just kind of got through it naturally. It was cool.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Because you have like 4 different births, yeah, or 3 different births happening.
But I did want to talk about Freedom's birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's, but maybe we can think about them more separately.
Sure.
Than
sure.
kind of like intermining them sure. so much because sure. it'll be hard for Ashley to figure
out. Oh, that yes. out. I'm sorry.
So, okay, so let's focus on Freedom then.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
You should introduce.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we just thought it's
okay. Skipped the whole thing.
Okay.
And also,
okay.
Are we paused right now?
No, I can pause it though.
Okay.
Let me pause them.
This is Forrest Solis interviewing for Creative Push Project. Sandy Divine Valentine on May 17th, 2016 at 10:30. Okay. So, bring us back to the beginning.
Okay, so my first son, he's actually 17 years old now. His name is Elohim. And I knew that I was going to have a boy. There was no question about it. I knew that this was going to be my first son. And the whole time I was pregnant with him, I talked to him. And I told him not to be a follower. Like, it was so important for me to influence him as a young man and know how to behave and how, you know, how to be a man, you know. And his father was there. His father's always been in the picture and everything. And
we're usually very good about this, but you're our first interview in several months, so
it's okay.
We're getting back into
no, this is
team.
Cool.
Totally several months.
This is cool.
And so we forget about the little details. Okay.
You were doing awesome, though.
Okay. Continue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a lot of my my relationship with Elohim is very close. We're almost like friends on a thin line because then there's the parenting. Elohim was born in a birthing center, and I started out, I wanted to have him in the water, And I did. I started out in the water, but I felt like I had to go to the restroom. And she said, well, you don't have to go to the bathroom. It's the baby. And I said, no, I have to go to the bathroom. So I go, I get out, I go, I get ready to go to the bathroom. And she's like, the baby is going to come out in the toilet. And I'm like, well, you know, and then she says, go in back into the tub or go to the bed. I said, I'm going to have him right here. And I got off the toilet and I got on my fours and I pushed that child out. And she's like, okay, I have his head. And I'm like, well, then get him out. And she's like, no, I need his shoulders. So I go and I push some more and she gave him to me and I walked over to the bed with him, connected and everything. And it was amazing. And so the birthing set only keeps you so many hours. And then I was ready to go home in three. I was like, can I go home now? And I'm like, I'm bored. I want to leave now. And she's like, well, everything is okay and you can go home. And me and my mom went food shopping, like I said, afterwards. And then I went home and laid with my baby. And it's been amazing with Elohim.
Can you revisit that idea of like what prepared you to give birth naturally, you know, mentally?
Yeah. You know, before I met Elohim's dad, I was an avid reader of just the natural, holistic way of living. And I felt that it was very important to be genuinely connected to your child when you have one, be it during pregnancy and what have you. So I was very much about my diet when before I had the baby. My pregnancy was, you know, just simply, I say amazing because I, you know, when he was little, I used to call him heaven because he was just an easy baby. And I think a lot of that has to do with how you live, you know, and before and after you have your child. So it was important for me to have the child natural. Sure, family and friends had an issue with it because they thought that I should be in a hospital just in case something happened. But there was nothing in me that doubted that type of delivery was going to be a problem. I had great midwives and nurses that worked with me through my pregnancy. And when it was time, they were there. There was always a nurse on the standby. It's just something go wrong. And, you know, he came out. He didn't cry. He wasn't even bleeding. That was the amazing part about it. And, yeah, it was important for me to have a natural birth.
Can you talk about, like, the, you know, where you were in your head? You know, like, how did you feel? You know, someone will talk about this sense that they're really like isolated in their thoughts as they move through the process of the pain. You know, like how, you know, did you feel like you were in the moment, you know, surrounded by, you know, your people and stuff, or were you just like totally in your head?
Let me tell you, when I got into the tub and I wanted to push and the nurse said, I said, I'm going to push. The father was in the tub with me. My mom was there. And I said, I'm going to push. And she said, you push whenever you're ready. At that moment, I knew that it was just me and the baby. There was no, granted, the father, the nurse, everybody else was there. But in that moment, I knew that I was by myself. And it was me. So I had to tune in to the baby because I remember when I was getting ready to push, I said, I'm going to have him right here. So I get out, I'm on my fours and I go to push. I remember getting ready to lay down on my stomach and the nurse said, no, don't lay down. And I said to her, let me do this because I felt like he was coming out from to the front, like he was ripping me. So I had to move him. So I was moving my body so he can come out a different way. And it was me and him from the tub until he came out. And that's what I had to put in my head at that moment in order for me to tune in and be able to channel correctly and have him, you know, without having any problems. Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's see. And then maybe talk about the nursing process, like after.
Yeah. So granted, this was my first child. I had never nursed before. So nursing for me was, I knew it came with the territory. I knew that was something that we had to try and something we had to do. Elohim actually latched on pretty well. I didn't have any discomfort. There wasn't any bleeding or anything. They actually show you in the hospital how to do it. So, yeah, I was, you know, it's kind of interesting how they don't actually get the milk in the very beginning. They get something else. I don't have the technical term for it, but it's always amazing to me that we already have what they need. That is simply amazing to me. So being that I was able to breastfeed him was a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was lovely too. Okay, so actually, do you think we want to talk about anything else before we move on to the second? Is there anything else that you can think of?
Oh, could mm-hmm. you revisit that? Because I think this is going to come up in the twins part too. Mm-hmm. That moment where he actually came out and you got to...
Yeah. When Elohim finally came out and I was able to... she gave him to me and I put him on my chest. And granted, I'm still in the bathroom. I'm sitting in front of the toilet with him. I actually blanked out. Like, I didn't see anybody else in the room with me at that moment. So it was pretty amazing that I was even able to hold him still connected. You know, nothing medically had happened yet. So I got to hold my baby, man. And I have that picture, actually, of me holding him. So I don't know. I mean... I got to hold my guy, you know, who I've been carrying for so long. And believe it or not, I talked to him so much during pregnancy that when he did come out the way he did, he was quiet. There was no bleeding. He didn't cry. I felt like he had taken everything in that I gave him. So he kind of came out grown, you know, he came out already ready, you know, to just take on the world. That's how I felt, you know.
That was awesome. Okay, so now we can transition to the twins. And talk about the conception. Like, was that planned?
Okay.
Actually, you don't think you mentioned that with the first one.
Was it planned? Was
that talk about prepper. Oh, yeah, not that specifically, but talk about preparing mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so maybe talk about the second birth. Were you planning on having a second child?
Okay.
You know, and then the surprise, of course, of finding out that they're twins. Yeah. And all the emotions that come with that.
Okay, so after my first child, now granted, all my children are 8 years apart, which to my mother was like, I can't believe you're having another child. But God works in his own way. All my children have different dads. My oldest son has his father, and then the twins. When I met his dad, he was actually hosting an open mic. We're all artists. All the fathers are artists in their own unique ways. And then... when I met him, he was hosting an open mic. I was very forward. You know, I thought he was handsome and everything, whatever. Unfortunately, within a month after meeting, I was pregnant with the twins. And it was not planned, although we weren't trying not to have any. Having more children was not planned. And finding out about the twins was pretty funny. When I went... First of all, it was a doctor's appointment, right? So I get up in the morning, I'm getting ready to go. My mother's getting ready to go to work. I was living with her at the time. And she said to me, congratulations on your twins. And I said, what? I said, you're crazy. Get out of here. Whatever, you know. She didn't know. She had no idea. So I go. I'm laying on the bed. The father is with me. And we're looking at the monitor the whole time. And the lady says, oh, you're having twins. And I said, what? And she said, you see those two dots you've been looking at? Those are heartbeats. And I said, no. So I called her a liar. I said, you're lying. I said, you're looking at the monitor from the lady before me. I said, this is not my monitor. This is not. No, I said, you're lying. I called her a liar at least 20 times. And she was like, no, ma'am. I wouldn't lie to you. The father, you didn't hear anything from him anymore. His mouth was on the floor. He couldn't believe it. And I was in shock. And for the longest time, I felt like I brought children into this world for somebody who couldn't. Because I couldn't understand where these twins came from. How was I built to have twins, you know? And then twins don't run in our families, either one of us. So when we found out we had twins, for a while, I was like, how come, you know? And then when we found out they were boys, I was a little bit disappointed because I wanted my girl to be in there somewhere. And after going back and forth with the dad about giving me boys, because I thought it was his fault, I was asking the doctor, like, how did I get twins? I mean, he doesn't have twins on his family. I don't have any on mine. And he says, oh, no, you dropped two eggs at one time. And I said, oh, it's me. Oh, wow. Fertile Myrtle over here, right? So it was not a planned pregnancy. It was not a planned pregnancy because, we did not plan that. And we weren't together that long. I did end up having the children in a hospital because one was head first and one was feet first. And so as much as we tried to talk to the children about turning over, like we would talk to them, you know, Musa, turn around, turn around. Even the doctor had told me, we can try to push the first one through and then turn the other one so he can come out after him. But he was afraid at the last minute that my cervix was going to close. And then they would have to do an emergency C-section anyway. So I cried because I didn't want a C-section. I really wanted to have my children natural because I know what the connection and bond is like when they're given to you after you have them. But I didn't have a choice and I had to have the C-section. So when they took me into the hospital, to the room to have them, I couldn't see anything that's going on. It's just me. I can hear everything. I'm awake. All I felt was a whole lot of pressure. And then probably about 5-10 minutes later, the babies were out. They were a minute apart. And the father was there. And so they brought the babies over to me to see them, but I couldn't touch them. So that was really hard for me. And I think because of it, there was some sort of disconnect between me and the children for a little while. It wasn't anything long. It was just, I was really anticipating having them natural. So since I couldn't have them that way, I really didn't know how to be in this, you know, in this different, it was a mindset, you know. So after a while, you know, I breastfed the children and they have different, they're very, very different. They're fraternal twins and they are polar. They're just opposite, totally opposite. But I had to breastfeed both of them at the same time. The raising of them when they were babies was one was always up and one was always down. So they were never down at the same time. I had a lot of support though from family and friends, and the father would come and help me with them as well. One of them was six, let me get it right, 6'2", I think, and the other one was 4'9", in weight. It was very heavy. They were very heavy, very active. One of them, actually, the one that's active now is the one that was active in my belly. We used to call him Happy Feet because he was just all over the place. And then the one that's kind of laid back is still laid back, and he would always just chill to the left. It was, they're interesting. Their personalities definitely came through in pregnancy.
So we've interviewed a couple C-sections before, mm-hmm. and they, you know, when walking us through the process of the mm-hmm. C-section, mm-hmm. you know, they talked about, you know, getting wheeled into this cold room and then being, like, strapped down like a crucifixion style and then having a curtain up. Did you experience any of this?
I did not. I felt like even though it was a C-section, was a surgery, I didn't have any restraint. There was no real restraint. The only thing that was restraining me was the medicine, the shot they give you. It numbs you, so you can't move anywhere. But I wasn't strapped down or anything. They would always ask me if I can feel it. If I can feel it, it's a problem, you know. But not at all. And again, it happened so fast. And I didn't feel the coldness. I didn't feel uncomfortable. It was a comfortable experience, even though it wasn't something that I really wanted. And then I was wheeled back into my room with no problems. I was comforted. Cared for by the nurses and doctors, and got to see my babies a little while after that.
sounds like you had a really good C-section. Yeah. Sometimes people talk about like shaking or shivering or having a reaction to the medication. Did you have any of that?
I did not. I just know that the reaction to the medication was more oozy, you know. I don't even remember some of the people that came to visit because I was so out of it, you know. But other than that, I didn't. No, not at all. None of the weird effects or anything like that. Yeah.
Some women also talked about when they, because, you know, they were given the baby to nurse, but they were still, like, kind of out of it mm-hmm. because of the drugs. Mm-hmm. And they found, like, it almost hard to, like, hold their baby. Mm. Their arms were still kind of, like, loosey-goosey. Did you have any of that, or was nursing?
Yeah, nursing was not a problem. They actually helped me nurse right away. Well, as soon as the babies were cleaned and they were able to come into the room. Musa, my youngest one by a minute, he was the 4'9", and they were worried that he was not gaining weight fast enough. So they were telling me, and this is how I know how babies are just beyond intelligent. He was there when they said to me, we're going to have to keep him because he was underweight and he wasn't able to go home yet. And I was like, well, I'm going to be in the hallway because I'm not going home without my baby, period. You know, believe it or not. As soon as she said that, he started eating. He started eating. So I was in the hospital for a few days, and he was at weight. He was at 5 pounds, and he was ready to go home. And I kind of looked at him like, you knew exactly what they were saying, right? Because I'm sure he was like, you're not leaving me here. I'm not staying in this hospital. I'm going home. But yeah, no, I didn't have any awkward experience when it came to breastfeeding or holding them. And they did make sure that I was okay before that even happened. Yeah. So Musa was actually breastfed a little bit with the bottle when he was away from me. And that was another thing that made me uncomfortable because I wanted him with me, you know, and they were like, well, you need your rest and we'll have him in the nursery, but I want him here. I want both of them where I can see them and the father is here and he can help me. So it was a little back and forth for a little while. And then after a while, they would leave the babies in the room with me. But I'm just like, no, they're mine. And I want, you know, to have them with me. So, yeah.
So was the father and you, were you a couple at the time of the birth?
Okay. So this goes to show you how powerful our intuitions are. A month after I found out I was pregnant, something was telling me not to be with him anymore. And I couldn't pinpoint why. He hadn't done anything wrong that I could see. But something was telling me that it just wasn't right. So I told him that I was not feeling this relationship no more. Because at the time, we were a couple in the beginning. But so I pulled away from him for 9 months. I said, I just don't want you around me right now. Something is just not sitting right with me. And my mother would tell me, oh, it's just the pregnancy. It's just the pregnancy. You'll get over it. It's just the, okay. So I had the children. And then a month later, we got back together. 5 months later, we broke up. So we broke up when the twins were 5 months old. And they're going to be 9 in a few days. And we haven't been together since. But he has always maintained his relationship with his children. And I appreciate that. And he genuinely, like, is there. Like, the children never need for anything. So, no, we weren't a couple very long. If we count months, I would say 6 months out of the entire pregnancy and when they were about 5 months, till they were about 5 months old. It's, yeah.
I love that thought that you're having children that were meant to be born, but mm-hmm. by people who weren't able to have children or
yeah,
something. That's
yeah.
a really beautiful thought.
Yeah, I really felt like that. I really felt like, even now after having Freedom, I'll be 40 in a couple of months, and I have actually started the process of becoming a surrogate mom. Because being that I am still able to have children, I don't want any more of my own. But I would love to bring a child here for another woman, you know? Yeah, definitely.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of goes along with the idea that the men aren't primary, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That they're like he was able just to be there to
yes.
the father of the child.
Yes.
And then he didn't have to be in the picture
mm-hmm.
as a husband type.
As a husband,
yeah,
right.
As a father.
Right, right.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, sorry. Oh, I should have been watching better.
And then he looks at me. okay, Poppy. Okay, all right, okay. Okay. You know how many times
You have bumped your head. When we had it's this okay. house, because I felt like everything was a death trap, like the hard stone.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, look how happy he is now.
Okay. Is it okay to feel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some comfort in.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. And then after that, he's playing.
Mm-hmm. He's so smart. Like, I showed him that he could put this thing in that holder, and then he kept, like, putting it in and flicking it out and scooping it up. And it was like he just grasped this concept so fast.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you talk while you're...
Oh, sure. Yes. Uh-huh.
So then, let's see. You were at home with twins. Mm-hmm. Life's going well. And then 6 years later?
Okay, so here's what's funny. Well, I was still living with my mother when I had the twins. And I wasn't working. The father wasn't living at the house with us, of course. He had his own apartment. But I've always worked. So one day I'm sitting at the computer and I'm like, okay, I have no pocket money. I'm not bringing in any money. Okay, how can I make money from right where I am? Oh, I do hair. So I use the internet to promote myself. And so I built my business from there. So I say that because I was home with the twins, but I still felt like there was something else I needed to do. I needed to continue to build. And then that's what I did, you know, with the twins while I had them. So it was an interesting journey, big time. Oh, yeah.
So how did you meet the next?
Okay, so Freedom's father I've known for 14 years. I met him 14 years ago. And we were both musicians, poets. And I met him in the music industry. He was with a group. And the group called on me to perform a piece on one of their tracks. And I met him during that time. So that was, I would say, 13, 14 years ago. And then we lost contact. And since then, he's been married. He had a new child. When I met him, he had a daughter. And then he had married, been divorced. I married my first son's father. I was married to him for 7 years, and then I met the twins' dad, and then I took a break, a good 8-year break, and I didn't date a whole lot, you know. I was like, oh, I'm done, I'm tired, you know. Freedom's father got in contact with me 2014, early 2014, and he would call every now and then. And he would tell me, I want us to date. And I said, what are you talking about? You know, we're friends, and who does that? You know, what friends date, you know? And he said, no, I want to court you. And I said, really? Like, you want to open doors and pull out my chair? And what are you talking about? You know? And he's like, yeah. And I was single at the time. So I said, you know what? All right. I'll let you do that. So we did, and we made it official July 2014 to be a couple. September, we're at a friend's house, and I had to go to the restroom a lot. But I thought it was because I had a drink, because I did. I had a drink. I said, wow, I have to go to the bathroom again, you know? Well, I had a feeling I was pregnant. I had a pregnancy test in my purse, but I didn't want to tell him because I wanted to surprise him when I found out. So I did not, and this pregnancy wasn't planned. I didn't know if I really wanted another child. He and I had never really talked about it. We talked more about being married than having children. So when the next day, the next morning, I said, you know what? I can't, I'm gonna go ahead and take the test. Before I could even put the test on the table, it was positive. My mom was not a happy person. Well, I went into the room, she was asleep, and I said, Mom, it's positive. And she was like, no, you know. And it just went from there, and then, you know, we kind of got over it. I stayed with my mom until I was about 7 months pregnant, living with her. And she kind of got adjusted as time went on, because it was becoming real now. The baby's coming. When they told me that Freedom was a boy, I was sad. I'm going to say sad because I wasn't disappointed. I was sad. And when I laid down in the doctor's office before she could tell me, I don't think she let 5 minutes go by before she said, oh, this is a boy. I kind of wanted her to give me a minute, you know, because this was when I was going to find out if this was finally my girl. And she said, oh, this is not a girl. This is a boy. And she showed it. I said, are you sure it's not just a big toe? Like, are you sure this is a boy? So she it was a boy. And that morning, the father and I went to breakfast. And he said, are you okay? I said, yeah. And he goes, you know, we can still name him Freedom, because I already had her name. And I said, and I kind of snapped out of it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm good. It's Freedom. It's a boy. Let him come. It's, you know, it's time. The thing about Freedom's pregnancy, though, was my oldest son. Now, understand that there's now a 16-year difference in age with Freedom and Elohim. And I worried about Elohim a lot, because it's always been me and El. Always been me and him, even with the twins. He's such a great big brother to his brothers. But when it came to Freedom, and now there's a new man in my life, and now me and this man are going to live together, and now all my children are going to be in this house with me, including Elohim, and I was very concerned about how Elohim was going to feel. So when I wasn't sure that I was pregnant, I brought it up to Elohim one day. I was picking him up from the gym, and I said, El, I think I'm pregnant. And he put his head down, and he shook his head. And I said, I don't know what that means. I need you to use your words. Like, what's the matter? He said, Ma, I just think it's going to be a lot. I just think it's going to be a lot. And I thought to myself, my son takes on everything. That told me that he takes it on. So from that point on, I know when to step back and kind of just let my son experience the moment. So all through my pregnancy, I would try to bring him in a little bit. El, you want to feel my belly? Or El, how you going to feel about it? He never said anything at all about the pregnancy. April 18th, 2014, Sule, my now fiance, asked me to marry him at a family event at my mother's house. And I didn't know until after that he had asked my son for his blessing. Whew, sorry, I might get emotional. And that meant a lot to me, because when I pictured us being engaged, I pictured all my children there. And I pictured my son there, and it all happened the way I wanted it. And after it had happened, I went inside and I said, Elohim, look. You know, he was watching the game. He was in the living room, and I showed him my ring, and he goes, I know, he told me. And I said, no, he goes, I know, he showed it to me. I said, really? And I didn't know again until after the next day that he had asked him. And I was very happy that Sule took that time to do that, because it meant a lot to me. I definitely want all the men in my family to respect each other. And so with that being said, we go and we have the baby. He came the day after his baby shower, and June 15th, he was there. Now, I was going through a lot of contractions, and they were coming on real hard. And before that, if I may back up just a little bit, Elohim was getting ready to go to a friend's house, and I'm still pregnant now at this time. And he said, Ma, come in the room with me while I get, you know, my bag ready. I said, really? You want me to come in the room with you? Like, you know, kids don't want you around anymore. So I go in the room with him, and I'm sitting there watching him get ready. And he says, I said, how do you feel about the baby coming? He goes, okay, you can leave now. And I was like, no. I was like, Elohim, I'm just asking. I just want to know where your head is at. And he said, Ma, to be honest, I don't know right now. And I said, all right, not a problem. So I left him alone. Now, understand, throughout this entire 9 months, I have been trying to figure out how to include my son so he did not feel left out. So he could still feel included. Because again, that's 16 years of an age gap. So when I had my twins, Elohim was at school. When he came after school, he immediately embraced his brothers. Mom, these are my brothers. I love them. And he held them and everything. So that really wasn't a whole lot of work for me. Plus, he was 7. So he was still young, you know. But this time it was different. Elohim is getting older. He's getting ready to leave the nest. And I wanted him to still feel loved. And like family. I mean, he's my son, but sometimes children don't feel like family because of whatever circumstances or whatever. Okay, so I'm going through my contractions. It's me, Elohim, and Sule at home. It's, I don't know how 4 o'clock in the morning maybe, and my contractions are not stopping. Sule said, I'm going to let Elohim take you to the hospital because if they send you back home, I don't want to miss work. So Sule went to work. Elohim took me to the hospital. He was amazing. He drove me. He was very careful. He helped me out the car. Like the little things that my son helped me do made me feel like he was okay. Even during my pregnancy, when I wasn't feeling good, he would cook for the twins. When he would cook for himself, he would cook for me. So please, I was going through a whole lot of mental stuff because I definitely wanted my son to be okay. So we're at the hospital, we're laughing, we're talking, and he's watching everything happen. They registered me into the room. He was there. Sule's mother was there. A friend of mine, Wanda, was there. And we're getting ready to have this baby. The nurse says to me, you didn't dilate enough, so we're going to send you home. At this point, the pain was unbearable. And I said, no, you're going to take him out and I'm not going home. Because at that point, I was ready for a C-section. I said, you know what? I'm not going through this pain no more. You're going to take him out. Well, the C-section doctor came in. He explained it all to me, even though I had had a C-section before. And he said, are you sure you want to do this? And I started crying. I said, no. I said, I don't, because you're not going to give me my baby when the baby comes out. And he goes, no, it's a sterile environment. I can't give the baby to you. So he said, do you mind if I check you one more time? Well, it was his first time. And I said, yes. He checked me. I dilated 3 centimeters and he was ready to break my water. So I was able to have the baby natural. When the baby was getting ready to come, the midwife asked me, who do you want to stay in the room? I said, I want Sule to be here and I want my son in the room. The mother is more than welcome to stay and my friend Wanda. So those were the people in the room. Elohim was in direct vision of the mirror because they put a mirror in front of you to see the baby come out. And it was very important for me to be here. And it came to me that if I could have my son in that room when I had him, that there would be an immediate connection to the baby because he was there, right, when he was born. And when the baby started coming out, his head was crowning and the nurse allowed me to touch the head. And, you know, and now I'm turning to the side because she was like, have him however you feel comfortable. I go to push the baby out. I grab the baby from out of me. I put him to my chest and I said, Elohim, look, this is so amazing. Elohim, come here. He came over. He looked a little bit because he was kind of like weirded out. Like, are you serious? So he's like looked over. He's like, uh-huh. And then he goes back into his corner. But he was there. And out of all my pregnancies, this pregnancy was so important for me because Elohim means so much to me because of the fact that he's so much older that, again, I didn't want him to be disconnected. Ever since I brought Freedom home, Elohim has embraced him. He picks him up. He watches him. He feeds him. He takes care of him. And I'm very thankful for a higher energy to guide me to be able to bring him in the best way I knew how. And to this day, he could always say he was there. They have the greatest connection, him and his brother. And believe it or not, when people see Freedom, they think it's Elohim. They say that they look so much alike. So the father and I are engaged to be married, and we all live together, a house full of men. Sule has a 5-year-old son, so he lives with us as well. The twins live with their father, but they see me every day. You know, I see them every day before and after school. So we're all a family, and we all get along for the most part. You know how brothers can be. But it was an absolute amazing experience. And my children have helped make it very comfortable for me. God, that I didn't mean to get emotional.
No, it's beautiful. Dang. So sincere and just so from the heart.
So sorry about that.
No.
No, it's great.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. Just, like, on the sideline of all of this, what role does art play? You know, and like your interest in the arts and your family's interest in the arts. Like, how does that help you kind of? Just deal with the complexities of life and family. And
it's definitely, okay, so I'm a performing, a spoken word artist. So I perform my spoken word. And I have been for the past over 15 years now in the Valley. Yes, I have to channel my anxieties, my nerves through my art so I can stay sane in a house full of boys. I am also a photographer, so I use that as well as another channel to breathe, to stay sane, you know. And sometimes I include my children too. I videotape them doing newscastings and what have you, and they're very, very talented. Elohim's my basketball player, so I take pictures at his games, and so yeah, I use my art to definitely get through. Freedom has a camera in his face all the time. My writing a book now of my life, and it has been a slow process because sometimes I don't want to go back to moments. But aside from that, I've been signed in London as a recording artist and writer, songwriter. So a lot of my work lately has been for them, but it still allows me to, you know, channel the energy when I need to. But yeah. My art definitely saves me.
It seems like the way that you think, you know, creatively, and the way that you, like, even the way that you're able to express yourself verbally and, you know, think about, you know, make the connections. Mm-hmm. And I think the arts is about, you know, making those connections between disparate things. And it helps create meaning in our lives, you know? And I think that you've really, the way that you process information and, you know, the family life that you have has a lot to, like, and the reason it's so healthy is because you're able to make those connections.
Yeah. I've taught my children, like, meditation, and I've taught them how to breathe, and, you know, and they've learned that early on because they are boys, and boys, their first reaction is physical when it comes to dealing with things when they're angry. So I teach them how to breathe through it so they can think. You know, so yeah, so a lot of what we go through is that. Yeah, and it's challenging.
Well, is there anything that you didn't say that you would like to add?
I have great relationships with my children's fathers, even though they're all different. I don't have any regret. I don't, you know, some people might be shamed by it because they have more than one father for their children. But my children never need for nothing. And I've never held my children back from their fathers because I know how important that is. Elohim and I were together since he was 3 years old by ourselves, because that was when I left his father. So when it came time to sending him over to his dad, it was something I never thought I would do because I didn't like his father at the time. And I never thought I would initiate that move. But I saw Elohim changing. And that year, he kept saying to me, "We need a man in the house. We need a man in the house." And I'm like, "Where is this coming from?" And then it hit me one day. I was washing clothes. And I was crying because it was heartbreaking that my son was, like, not listening to me. And he was brand new. I was like, "Who is this person?" I said, "Oh, my God, it's Daddy's turn." And I called his father and I said, "Do you want your son? Because he's going through some changes." And he was happy about it. So really, I say all that to say that the relationship that children have with their parents, be they in the home or outside the home, is very important. And I've learned that. And I'm thankful for my mother for it, because she's the one that said, they let him. And I never kept them from them. And it's so important. It builds character. It builds them up to be the best people that they can be. And you have to let the other parent figure it out like you did, you know? But, you know, aside from that, they're all healthy and they're great kids. So I just wanted to say that, you know, if you're in that situation or if you find yourself in that type of situation where you're separated from the parent, always allow the child to have their relationship and allow them to be the best people they can be with those relationships in their lives. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just another insightful thing at the last second.
I was wondering if you could
this is Ashley just Zukowski quickly, speaking.
If you could quickly just revisit this idea of becoming a surrogate and like what kind of prompted you and how when that happened.
When I separated from Elohim's father, at the time when we were married, Elohim's dad didn't want any more children. But I knew that if we were going to stay married and we weren't going to have any more kids, then I wanted to have children for somebody else. To be honest with you, I didn't do a whole lot of research at the time. I really didn't know what it all entailed, but I knew that there were women out there who couldn't have children. And I knew that there were women who were having babies for other women. So I wanted to be a vessel. And at the time, it didn't happen. I didn't go into any sort of applications. I didn't even look it up. But it was a thought. What discouraged me from it was my mom had told me that she didn't think I could do it because she thought I was going to get attached. She was like, I know how much you love being pregnant and how much the delivery and you're so into it. And I feel like you're going to get attached. And okay, so I let it go for so many years because then by the time I thought about it again, I had the twins. Then by the time I thought about it again, I had freedom. So I was like, well, what's going on? So, but now it's very different because I don't want any more of my own. But I know that I am still healthy enough to carry. So I did research and I did look at, but and let me go back. At the time, I noticed that nobody was taking anyone past 35. That was then. But now I found organizations that'll take women up to 45. So this time I kind of started the process of the application and I mean, I would love to do that for someone. I would love to do that for someone because I know that it's simply amazing. It's simply amazing. Now I know the woman won't be able to go through the whole pregnancy and the delivery, but she wants a child. She wants to, you know, add on to her family and why not? And now my thought process is much different. My mom is not so much in the back of my mind that I'm going to get attached. In my mind, the child is not mine. You know, the child's not mine. But I am going to bring the child in the best way I know how. And then the child goes home with the parents. You know what I'm saying? I don't bring any more babies home. So that's what has me more comfortable and grounded in the idea of even moving forward with wanting to do it.
Well, there's a maturity that comes with age, right?
Yes. Yes. And that's definitely how I feel about it now, is much more mature and much more thought out. Now I just have to get my fiance on board. Because when you don't know, you're automatically, no, this is weird for me, you know. So it's a process. I mean, and I may never do it, but I definitely have the thought. It's my phone. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I was like, there's dripping water somewhere. That's hilarious. I think we're pretty well wrapped up. Yeah. If we want to go ahead and hit stop.
I hope I didn't go too far left.